In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Here is a fun fact for you. Did you know that the word disciple is used more than 40 times in the Gospel of Mark? 40 times. And the term the 12, referring to the original disciples, is used another 10 times. Now, I have always thought disciples, and especially discipleship, as very churchy words. But apparently it worked for Jesus before there was any church. And it certainly worked for the early church to describe themselves as followers of the way of Jesus. In fact, another fun fact, our reading today is actually the major turning point in the Gospel of Mark and is even called the discipleship section. We get a whole section. That is how important all of us disciples are to Jesus. Fundamental to being disciples of anyone is an attempt to understand who we are following. Don't you think? Up to this point in the gospel story, Jesus has been very busy demonstrating his authority and identity through teaching, sometimes cryptically, one must admit, getting into tricky debates, healing, freeing people of demons, feeding fish, and all kinds of carbs. Remember all the bread and bread and bread. Eating with the wrong people, praying for the wrong people, and through calling, always calling. Along with the others, Peter answered Jesus' call to follow. He had firsthand experience of Jesus' power and authority. He also listened, questioned, prayed, watched, and acted on the varied invitations Jesus offered. Through the process, his state of being changed as he became attached to Jesus emotionally and spiritually. So when Peter states clearly that Jesus is the Messiah, he did have the right concept. He just had the wrong interpretation. For those who may not know, the word Messiah in Hebrew literally means the anointed one. In Greek, Messiah is translated as Christos or Christ, also meaning anointed one. It is also helpful to know that this gospel was written after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the beloved temple in 70 of the Common Era. The community is devastated. Yet, the messianic hope that is deeply embedded in the heart and psyche of Israel remains intact. The Messiah will come and purify society. He will usher in a new era of peace and holiness. And most importantly, he will liberate Israel from the oppressor. At this point in time, the boot of the Roman Empire. It is also expected that the Messiah will restore Israel to its former glory under King David, and that glory, of course, will spill over to the disciples. So let the good times roll. Sorry, Peter, wrong anointed one, wrong Messiah. This Christ is going to suffer. He is going to be rejected. He is going to die. You can't stop it from happening no matter how much you object. This is the first of three what are called passion predictions Jesus will make. He sees it coming, and he wants his disciples' eyes and ears to be wide open, to understand what they are getting into when they answer yes to the call initiated by God. He even gives them a chance to walk away. He says, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. This is what being a disciple looked like and meant then, and it still looks like and means that to this day. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. What is the self that I am supposed to deny? Am I not wondrously made? Am I not made in the image of God? The good news is we are, but God only knows. We get muddled up in very human things. Our own self-importance and selfishness, the quest for power and power over others. We mistake our ego and our need for admiration and perfection for the self that God intended us to be at our finest. We misunderstand who we are and whose we are. Denying our false selves realigns us with Christ, and like Peter, changes our state of being and attaches us to Jesus and God's church emotionally and spiritually. We cannot ignore the fact that the instruction in this passage to take up our cross sounds so harsh to modern ears, given all the imagery that the cross elicits. And indeed, it has been wielded over and over again to suppress those that Jesus came to liberate. I think of a friend of mine who married right out of high school. Her husband was verbally and physically abusive from the beginning. In her desperation, she went to the only source of wisdom she knew, the local pastor of her neighborhood church. In all his misunderstanding of Scripture and what it meant to be a disciple, he sent her home, telling her to carry the cross she had been given by being a better wife. It has been used to keep people enslaved and to justify all manner of obscene subjugation and abuse. The last thing this discipleship section suggests is glorification of suffering or servitude. On the contrary, our cross is a cross of hope, of freedom, and of change that unfolds when we say, yes, I'm in, I'll follow. Our cross becomes the cross of Christ, the conscious, habitual imitation of Christ, who is at the core of our lives. Love God, love our neighbor as ourselves. Don't leave that part out, because we are marvelously made. We become aware of the needs for love and attention and care right before us. Members of our own families, our neighbors, friends, and acquaintances, and ourselves. We learn to use our personal and collective resources wisely and generously in care of those in need. There is a humble opening of our eyes and hearts to the plight of the abused or oppressed, the immigrant, the asylee, those on the margins of society. We open our hands to serve, such as we witness in the middle of these fires with World Central Kitchen. Follow. Follow where Jesus has already led and is still present ahead of us. Of course, we sometimes misunderstand, and sometimes we even fail. Lots of times we actually fail, because it's hard. The good news is we're not in charge here. We can be assured that God will renew our faith and our commitment to Christ day by day, and sometimes even hour by hour. To be sure, being a disciple of Jesus is challenging and it asks a lot of us. It asks for our lives, our all. In return, we will find our life. We will find it as we are called over and over again into relationship with love itself. That love of God in Christ will reorient us and change our focus. It will insist that we do not belong all to ourselves and our own egos, that in reality we are much, much more. It will transform us, it will fulfill us, it will give rest to the weary soul, it will offer peace and of mind and of heart. It will attach us spiritually and emotionally to God in Jesus. Do I have any takers? Amen.